Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Roll sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Astros fans, on a positive note, as we said, all these quotes and interviews are going to come in as players come in to report for spring training. A guy that you probably wouldn't put in the category of Astros' beloved opponent, but Juan Soto. Did I mention he's 22? Oh, never mind. Joe Buck did several times. He reported to camp and was asked about his reaction to the Astros' sign-stealing and said, "I don't want to push them into the wall. We're human. We make errors." Good for you, Juan Soto.
And he's young. He's 20, what, 20?
I commend him for that.
Yeah, look, that's probably I think that's the route most players should take. Obviously, I'm a little biased being a Houstonian and an Astros fan, but that's what I would have done. I would have just been like, whatever. Look, they're trying to change the game. They're trying to eliminate electronic sign stealing in its entirety. I'm just going to adjust my game and do the best that I can going forward, and that's it. I wouldn't necessarily have to pile on. That's exactly what these beat writers want, and a lot of these newspapers want, and these local publications want, is to get these quotes out of players outside the Houston Astros clubhouse and perhaps some of the players in these other clubhouses to say comments like that. And it's just going to continue to get worse. Did you see, though, I wanted to bring this up in the last segment.
Okay.
Chris Boise on Twitter reminded me with his tweet. He tweeted at us, great show so far, gents. Question, any word on how season ticket sales have looked for the Astros? Really hoping attendance doesn't tank and we show up to support as a city. Now, I think in terms of attendance, I think they'll be fine. I think there's a lot of Astros fans out there, and I think attendance has been doing pretty well, especially after the 2017 World Series. But it is interesting that you talk about the ticket sales part, because ABC 13 published an article about 3 hours ago, and the headline is, Astros season ticket holder sues the team for $1 million after the scandal, and he wants to stop the team from raising ticket prices. So I don't know. I think you being with the Houston Rockets for 23 years, Joel, you have an idea of how these ticket prices fluctuate depending on how well the team is doing, star power on the roster. How much of an impact do you see on ticket prices for the Astros?
It's definitely something that they're going to have to keep a careful watch on, and they are going to be handcuffed for several years in not being able to raise ticket prices just so that they don't affect the bottom of the line more negatively than the scandal. And I know from experience, as you mentioned, working for Les Alexander, when the getting was good and the team was playing well, there was no qualms about trying to capitalize and get every single dollar out of it. So therefore, raise prices, try and do it more subtly when the fans notice, because in the early years, the fans would notice and it would be a huge problem. But they would definitely try and get every dollar out. It's in both baseball and in basketball, nothing more evident than saying over the past 5 years, both the Astros and the Rockets have done this thing where the big teams, when the New York teams come to town, when the Yankees come to town to play the Astros or the Red Sox, or the Lakers come to town, or when LeBron was with the Heat or whoever it was, they jacked the price up for those individual tickets more so than the rest of the season. They don't want you to know about it, and they don't publicize that, but they do it so that they can get every single possible dollar out. I think because of all of this and the way Jim Crane has tried to handle everything in terms of protecting the brand and the organization, that's the only reason why they're apologizing. Let's be real about this.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to affect their bottom line and the fact that they can't raise ticket prices.
So do you think that it stays the same? So they're not going to raise ticket prices. You would argue that they're probably either going to stay the same or go down. Is that safe to say?
I would say they're going to, I don't think they're going to go down, but I think they're going to stay the same.
Just to play devil's advocate. Now, okay. You could say really a big contributing factor to the reason why tickets go up in price is the star power on your roster, right? And this team.
And the overall success of the team, yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's why I said it's just one contributing factor.
Sure.
There's a bunch of stars on this roster.
Absolutely. So and if Jim Crane's got bills to pay because there's salaries on those stars.
Plus the fine, which I know is not that big.
That's nothing.
But because of the star power, if the demand is there, can you make the argument that they still might go up on ticket prices as long as the demand is still there?
If the demand should still be there, right. So that's one thing. And the other thing would be, if there's a press, if they can spin it off into a pressing need, if there was something that the organization was trying to do where they could say, you know, hey, look, we're trying to build this new center field atrium or something like that. And so part of it is that's why we're going to boost ticket prices for the next couple of years, because we're trying to, not that a lot of people are going to buy into that, but at least then they have a built-in excuse. But I think overall it's going to be an issue. But I think, Nick, going back to a point you made earlier in the show that's going to come up that I've made in the weeks previous, which is the more lawsuits that come out, whether it's like this with season ticket holders trying to sue teams in terms of the ticket issues, or just the individual players, as we've already seen, or maybe organizations that go and try and dig deeper by filing civil suits, trying to capitalize on this and make the Astros pay when obviously baseball didn't. The one thing that may come out of all this is, as these lawsuits add up and more investigations into these lawsuits happen, because the lawyers are going to dig and they're going to talk to players and they're going to get depositions, that's where you might get what baseball wasn't able to do. You might get the real story, because now the lawyers legally going after a lawsuit and talking to people involved in the scandal or indirectly involved in the scandal or had some kind of connection to the scandal, they're going to talk. They're not being ruled by Major League Baseball with a gag order. And that's where you might find out more details than we've ever found out through baseball.
Yeah. And to kind of go back to kind of to your point and kind of going back to the story about ABC 13, I don't know if his last name is Wallach or Wallach, but Adam Wallach of Humble is the one who raised the $1 million lawsuit. It's become a class action lawsuit for 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020 full and partial season ticket holders. What Adam is alleging is that the scandal diminished the value of the seats for the past three seasons, as well as the upcoming season. And therefore they also overcharged them for those three seasons. So they're entitled technically to a portion of that, ticket price for those years, because they were technically overcharging because they were viewed as World Series champions. I don't know. That's the two stipulations of the lawsuit. They're asking for $1 million, and they're asking for the ticket prices not to go up. So I don't know. This was filed in Harris County. I don't know if this is going to be something that is going to be a major headache for Jim Crane, but he obviously has to address it at this point.
Oh, and his legal counsel is going to be pretty busy because of all the fact. Giles Kibbe is his name, and basically there was nothing going on when the getting was good for the Astros, to the point where he was working more on Jim Crane's involvement in taking over the Houston Open than he was anything Astros related. Now he's going to be fielding a lot of these as we get closer to the season and as people get around. And let's be honest, lawyers and people are going to try and capitalize, just like the Astros were capitalizing by stealing signs. People are going to try and capitalize and cash in if they can. And they're going to get publicity out of this, if nothing else. So lawyers are going to jump on board and go, if you're a season ticket holder and you want to do this, we're
They'll
here for you.
Pro bono probably too, right?
Oh yeah. Depending on what they win. Yeah. Basically, yeah, for one reason, exposure, and then depending on getting a piece of what they win, absolutely. And so we'll see a lot more of this. But like I said, if the truth comes out in the deal, I think that obviously baseball purists would be happier to get more of the details. But I think also what's funny, and I heard Fred and AJ talking about this last week, do you realize that the Astros are having a American League championship ring debt night this year?
Oh, no.
Like, the ring nights are going to continue because that's revenue. Because then instead of a Tigers game that only would draw 14,000, the ring nights made it a damn near sellout. They're going to stoop to that level after winning a World Series, that they're going to have a ring night like that. And people kid, but I guarantee you, if they could make fun of themselves and have a trash can, like a bobblehead with a trash can and a banger or something like that night or something like that, I guarantee you fans would soak it up. At some point, own it. I love the fact that the Astros, some of the Astros fans, and we got tagged on a couple of tweets, they're looking for Astros, the spring training hats that they have this year with the star with the rainbow through
the
it.
The asterisk, yeah.
Yeah, and they're looking for ways of saying us against the world, Houston against the world. Just own it, embrace it, embrace the hate, and go forward. Patriots fans did it for years. You can do it too, and it's not going to be that difficult because, like you said, the whole world hates you.
Yeah, they are public enemy number one. There's no doubt about it because they did, in fact, cheat. So they're going to be public enemy number one. Rob Manfred, actually, when he was asked in that interview of because they're public enemy one, there's a good possibility that a lot of these batters are going to get beamed and a lot of pitchers are going to throw some baseballs at them that, you know, it could get overwhelming if all 29 teams are considering doing that. He's thinking of some deeper ramifications, deeper punishments for those who hit any of the Astros batters. He's already sent a memo to the remaining 29 teams about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Maybe one thing that Jim Crane could do is just to deal with this particular lawsuit is say, hey, you know what? I wasn't planning on going up on ticket prices this one season anyway and just take the hit for this one season.
Once the season starts, I mean, once we get to this point in the season, their marketing is together. They're not raising them anymore.
They're not changing the prices at this point.
No, it'll be for years coming forward, but not for this year. Interesting, some of the text, too. I played baseball at a fairly high level for over 10 years. Every single player I ever was associated with cheated to some degree. Every single player.
Yeah.
That goes back to what we were talking about, Melvin and otherwise. So if it wasn't technology involved and it was just guys who have been doing it for years and everybody's been doing it.
You're trying to get.
Yeah. Is that the same severity that you're talking about? Because it's all the same kind of philosophical thing. It's just what equipment are you using to get the stealing done. So that was interesting. Someone said if this was all happening, it was the Cowboys, not the Astros. Would Astros fans have the same kind of defend their team attitude, or would they be all in?
You're talking about the, like the Dodgers, the Rangers, or
if it was the Rangers in baseball, or if it was the Cowboys in football, it might be different. And that's a fair question. And then someone else brought up: is Bellinger going to still talk about cheating if and when the Red Sox decision comes down, and his new teammate Mookie Betts was a part of it?
That's another thing
there as well.
There's so much information that needs to be revealed. That's why if I'm a player, I'm not really going at the Astros too hard yet because they're in the middle of the investigation.
Well, you can go at them hard because of the fact that they've admitted it and because it's been proven with them. We haven't heard the rest of it yet.
Right.
So that's something that you
can
do.
So that's probably why they have some ground to be able to kind of take their shots and jabs at the Astros. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. So that's the first segment of hour number two. Still plenty more to go. Join us if you get a chance. 713-780-3776. Obviously, we prefer and enjoy the text, the tweets, and the interaction. So hit the HRNP listener lineup if you want to call or text. Hit us on Twitter if not, and we'll continue with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Full Housing Lender.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through hour number two of the show. It's Nick in for Barry, along with myself and Tyler Scott, as we hit the Astros scandal day whatever. We hit All-Star Weekend with the NBA.
That was
fun. And there's plenty more to get to. Tyler, I am a little bit curious with you being a very passionate Astros fan. Are you in the camp of Astros Twitter of just take the gloves off, fight everybody and anybody, and keep on slugging, or is it time to move on?
Yes and no. With the whole Trout stuff, I feel like going at them about Skaggs.
Yeah,
that's a
slippery slope.
It really is, and I don't know that. I think the investigation came out, and there was whatever conclusion that MLB found about his death, and I think for the most part they should probably stay away from that, just out of respect for him. But again, it is that is a blemish on the Angels organization that maybe people should be talking about that is a little bit bigger picture than just cheating or sign stealing, whatever. But I think for the most part, they should probably just adopt a Marshawn Lynch type scripted answer. We're just going to talk about baseball. We're just going to talk about the baseball game. Don't ask me about anything. We already addressed everything in spring training and just kind of leave it at that.
That's an interesting point because you can have this team is obviously so close and tight-knit that if they could make it into something like that where they could have fun with it and everybody could just continue. Because the Marshawn Lynch thing became, he was doing it basically to save his ass from being fined.
Right.
But if the Astros did it and they could all have fun with it and look around and kind of, you know, give you the sly eye and go, I'm just here to talk about baseball. I think that they could have fun. It would bring more togetherness to the clubhouse because, as we all said, look, if they crap the bed this year.
Oh, it's going to be so
it's
bad.
It's just going to get worse and worse. But if they come out and guns blazing, just take on the league and just keep on doing what they've been doing for the last 3 years, this is going to get toned down a lot.
I think they're going to catch it if they win or they lose.
You think both?
Because if they start winning and people are going to be like, oh, are they doing this again? Are they back to doing this stuff? And if they lose, oh, well, obviously you weren't a good team, so you had to cheat to win.
Which so, I think is so cheap. It's so cheap in baseball when you know how hard it is to be a back-to-back World Series champion. How incredibly difficult in this league to continually and consistently be good year in and year out and do well and make it to the postseason and do well in the postseason. It is so hard to do. So hard to do. And the other thing that's going to be hard to do, and I keep harping on it, is like, look, I can get 1,000 texts of hate and not respond to one of them. But then one of them is going to catch me the wrong way, and I might respond. And that's what I'm afraid of for these Astros. 162 games, they can go the Marshawn Lynch approach. They can be the bigger man and all that. But
you're right.
After another road trip, and each one of these local reporters from a different city is going at you.
But think about this: you bring up the guy that used to go to the Rockets games and look to try and get under the player's skin, Draymond Green, and otherwise.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be one of those in several cities across the country where they're going to look because they're looking for you to explode. They want the ticking time bomb to go.
Yeah, that's happened here on this show, on a bunch of shows on this radio station and other radio stations. You can sit there and take a bunch of hate. You're eventually going to respond. That's how I feel. Now, there's a few people I believe that have that DNA in them that just knows how to shut up and just never will respond. But I still think that's really difficult to do for 162 game season. So I like the Marshawn Lynch approach. I think that's a very smart way to do it. They could have fun with it, like you said, like Tyler said. But, dude, that's going to be so hard. That's going to be so, so hard to bite your tongue each and every game. And if Carlos Correa is already kind of taking the lead here, you don't feel like some of these other players in the clubhouse is going to want to jump on that train and get his back too?
Yeah, and like I said,
Altuve didn't.
The national media doesn't help either because this is selling ratings and everything that the networks are trying to peddle. So that's why every day this is going to be top story or top of the deck in terms of how many things that they have to cover on every one of these talk shows, on every one of these major networks. And it's not going to go away that way either. And of course, you have some of these baseball writers that are baseball quote unquote purists that believe this was the most offensive thing that could have happened. So from the Buster Onlys of the world to my favorite guy, Jeff Passan. And let me be clear. I didn't have an axe to grind with Jeff Passan. I knew him from Twitter, basically,
right,
as a blue checkmark baseball guy. But then when all of this started, the fact that he has zeroed in on only the Astros. And I said that when Herman was the pitcher for the Yankees was suspended for the exact same amount as Osuna was. But Passan was leading the charge of killing the Astros about making the trade for Osuna. But he hasn't written one word or said one thing about the Yankees and Herman. It chaps my ass. So the same way that every single day he's got four more tweets and headlines to hammer the Astros, when this Red Sox decision finally comes down, I better see a whole lot from Jeff Passan. I don't know why more writers aren't investigating the Beltran Yankees angle. And the fact that not only Beltran, who played 3 years previous with the Yankees before joining the Astros, And the fact that when he got there, and depending on which article you read, said, boy, are you guys behind the times? Well, if you think the Astros were behind the times, you have to have experience with another team that was doing it better. The last 3 years before you joined the Houston Astros, they were with the Yankees. You went back to the Yankees the year after, and we had the audio where Alex Cora said, oh, by the way, the greatest free agent signing in baseball this year was Beltran to the Yankees. He has the system to make it work. We didn't know at the time what he meant. It was just another quote on another day, only it happened to be in London. But when you look back at it now, you're like, okay, well, why aren't people really going into the investigation of trying to figure out what was the situation with the Yankees? Look at Chris Young. Chris Young was just a bit player for the Yankees back in the day, but he came out a few weeks ago and he said, I was the one that started the whole Apple Watch thing when I was playing with the Yankees. I got it with the Yankees.
Yeah, I saw that. Peter Gammons, I think, was the one who was reporting that, and he said that he was... I guess this quote was kind of his idea or something like that. That's what Chris Young told Peter Gammons. And then I think he later, I don't know if he later stepped back on his claims, but that was Peter Gammons who reported it. And I tend to think Peter Gammons didn't make that up.
I believe a guy, a credible guy that's been around baseball as long as Peter Gammons, for sure.
Chris Young did step back from his claim, but still,
There's a reason why Correa went to Rosenthal. He didn't go to Jeff Passan. He didn't go to guys that are trying to make a name for themselves. He went to a respected baseball writer that was basically not looking to take shots either way, just report the facts.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the way you got to go. Look, if someone tells you that, even if it's not fact, like if you're a reporter and I give you a quote and I said, you know what, I'm the one who came up with the iWatch thing, and I was lying or joking or whatever the case may be. You didn't lie as a reporter if you posted that. If you published that, you just relayed what I said. That's an accurate report. So that's the thing that I think a lot of these people that are consuming some of these publications and hearing these local reporters, they don't understand. If a reporter reports something that was told to them, even if it wasn't fact, that's still an accurate report because that's what they got. That's what their sources said. As long as you allocate it.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Before we go any further, though, I wanted to give the suspects a chance to get something in return for their loyal support of us. It's a Houston Sabercats Saturday coming up February the 22nd. You can feel the roar as they take on Old Glory DC at 7 p.m. Tickets start just $20 at the new Aviva Stadium, which features the best seats in the country, two bars stocked with plenty of cold Carbach beer. Right now, we're going to give you a chance to win. If you're caller 12, 713-780-3776, caller 12 wins two tickets to the game plus two VIP meet and greets with Barry Laminack and Sabercats players in the locker room before the game, plus pregame field passes. You can visit HoustonSabercats.com for tickets if you don't win them. But right now, if you're caller 12, you can win them. 713-780-3776. Two tickets to the game, two VIP passes, and good luck. We'll be back with a whole lot more here on The Usual Suspects as we continue to hash out baseball, the All-Star Game, and other things. If you want to join us, please do. Text, call, Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Okay, Houston Media Critic.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling. Second half of the show starts now. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. As Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Shuffled the deck a little bit today and tomorrow. Nick in for Barry. Tyler, gracious enough to help us out, filling in for Nick today. I believe Aaron Rabel will do it tomorrow. Talking a lot about the Astros scandal in whatever day this is. Talking a lot about the NBA All-Star Weekend early in the show. And, of course, the Roughnecks with a big win, 2-0 on the season. They beat St. Louis. A very fun and entertaining game. Seemed to be, again, well-attended. Tyler, I believe you were there, right? Good crowd?
I was there. Official attendance, Nuno tweeted it out of 17,103.
Okay, not bad.
I think a few hundred less than week one.
Okay. Not a bad crowd, though.
But that's about what, if I'm not mistaken, the capacity at that venue is 40,000?
It's like 40, yeah.
I think right before the game, a couple hours before, they opened up the upper bowl. So they were selling tickets for that because I think the lower bowl sold out.
Yeah, so it is 40,000, but I do think they built it, because I remember when they built it with the possibility of being able to expand it in the event that the program grew in terms of attendance. So it can be expanded and you can add more seats, but right now the capacity is 40,000. I think it's a perfect place to start for the Houston Roughnecks, especially in the inaugural season. I didn't get to see the entire game, but I did watch it from... like I said, from Chewy's on TV. Didn't hear the broadcast, but I did enjoy some of the highlights of the game. It's so hard though to predict. I can't believe anybody betting on these games though. Like, I know Fred Fowler does it.
So it's a partnership with XFL. They have a thing where you can predict the score of three games, and for week two, the top prize, if you got all three right, was $500,000.
Wow. Okay.
So, really?
I picked the scores of three games. I got the first one right, 9-17, the Vipers versus whoever.
Right.
And then the other two, a little off, but from whatever, I guess you get points for being as close as possible without...
like partial credit, I guess.
Yeah, partial credit, whatever. And the top person had like 289 points or something like that. They won $200 doing that.
Okay.
So,
wow.
I don't know.
Man, it sounds tempting. And I'm just so bad. I mean, I'm bad enough betting on the NFL, let alone on the XFL. But yeah, at least they're off to a good start, 2-0.
I was going to say, the attendance is going to continue to go up and popularity is going to rise if they keep winning. And PJ Walker, I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be the starter at the start of the year. Connor Cook, the ex-Raider quarterback, was. But this dude has come in. He leads the league in touchdowns. Threw three yesterday again. Their defense looks to be fantastic. And, you know, for a team that in a city that's desperate for winning right now and for a feel-good story, they got one sitting right in their own backyard. And granted, their first two games have been at home. But look, in every aspect of the game, it's winning football, and it's fun to be around. And Tyler, I'm interested. Obviously, you've been in the city for a long time, and you've been a pro sports fan. The overall atmosphere, feeling, the football itself, were you impressed with everything?
Oh, yeah. I had a friend who was actually like in the crowd. I went down, met up with him, kind of got his thoughts, and he was saying that it was loud, it was kind of an electric crowd. And obviously, them winning definitely helped, but there were a couple points during that game where momentum shifted like crazy. There was a huge interception. Mm-hmm. There was one play that it got called a sack, but it was a very like Deshaun Watson-esque play where he
did a couple
scrambles.
He looked
like he was getting sacked,
yeah.
And he rolled off his back, and somehow his shoulder and elbow touched, but the refs never blew it dead. And even Granato was saying, he was like, Tyler's telling me he's still going, and I thought the play was dead, and he made a 30-40 yard completion off of that. And I was very impressed with the product on the field that I saw.
I was impressed with how invested people were at bars. Like, they were actually cheering and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, to me, that's a really good sign. And the fact that we hear Tyler reporting what he saw and what he experienced at the game, I mean, I think that's a good start. I can't remember, though, because I wasn't really into the XFL when it initially started, how much of a initial spark the XFL had when the first go around. Like, were people as excited in that first inaugural season like they are here?
I don't think it was as close as it is now. And I think that, again, and obviously with the marketing machine that is Vince McMahon and wrestling, I think that they've marketed it a different way. And I think that as long as you're not out in there, you know, braggadociously saying you're going to compete with the NFL, but you're putting up a product that is entertaining to watch, that literally, whether you want to admit it or not, the NFL doesn't have anything. Remember NFL Europe and all these different, you know, entities that they tried to create years previous to this. If they can get this to where players can make the transition at the end of this XFL season and a lot of them or some of them get jobs in the NFL, it's going to be the breeding ground for players in the NFL. The Texans, who, you know, basically we know they don't have a lot of draft picks, but they need some help. And maybe they go and, you know, their scouts are watching some of these games. And you don't think it's going to be the feel-good story if they're able to look at the Roughnecks and find out that there's a defensive back that's playing his tail off, or a guy, a defensive lineman, an ex-NFL guy that they can add to their roster and say, you know what? Those are the stories that are going to enhance this league even more. And if they can get some of those, it's only going to grow. But you know what? Own what you are. That is a monstrous animal that you're talking about with the NFL. So if you're just an offspring, or, you know, a little brother to him, who cares? As long as you're prospering, you're making money, and you're popular.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how much it bothers them, or if it bothers them at all, about the whole, you know, developmental league moniker, or that label.
Right.
But it's not a bad situation. And you got to remember, some of these players are late bloomers. Like, they get out of college, they're still not good enough for the big leagues. They play 2 or 3 years in developmental leagues, and they're still not good enough. And then they're almost 30, and then here a team is starting to look at them. And I've seen this time and time again, where someone doesn't get into the big leagues until 28, 29, NFL, NBA as well. So it's not a bad situation, in my opinion, even if that player becomes a star in the XFL.
But Tyler brings up a great example, right? Okay, so you got Deshaun Watson last year. Well, you know, his backup's a free agent. So that maybe the Texans take a look, and they need a guy that can run the system similar to what Deshaun does. Not saying that he has to be anything great, but God forbid if there's an injury, a guy that you don't have to remember now in years past when they had the exact opposite of a backup quarterback than they did to Deshaun. They had to change the entire offense once they had to make that change. If you could take a PJ Walker and say, hey, guess what? Here's the Cinderella story. You played your tail off for Houston all offseason for the XFL. We're going to bring you into camp. Not even if you have, not saying you sign him or you don't, and you don't know how he's going to play, but his escapability, like he did again yesterday. The fact that people made a lot of references to, he made Deshaun-like plays yesterday. Great story in Houston, even if you just bring him into camp, and now Roughnecks fans are even deeper into Texans. Texans are actually appreciating having an XFL team in their city, and I think you build it, it's a process, but you can build on it.
There's some advantages to being the smaller, less talented league. I think being this independent league outside of the NFL, not playing games the same time that, you know, not airing and having a schedule the same time the NFL has a schedule. I think there's a lot of flexibility in that. There's so much room for growth. I think there's so much potential. It's not a bad thing to be in a league that might be viewed as a developmental league, or where you don't have all the most talented players. There's so much more flexibility, I feel like, that the XFL has that the NFL doesn't, that could really help them stay around for a long time. So,
and Johnny Manziel could be eating crow again, because he's the one that said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of another league that's going to fold in less than a year, just like the AAFL, and I'm not going to do it, but I'm trying to make a comeback. And maybe at the end of the year, he looks at it and goes, you know what, that's exactly what I should have done, because my name would have brought some marketing and some ticket sales, but I could have resurrected my career by proving, you give me the right situation, and I can still play to where he might get a look. But instead, he treated it wrong, as opposed to Tim Tebow, who said, they came calling for me too, and I was intrigued by it. But I am hanging on to my dream of playing baseball, and I don't want to look back when I'm 50 and regret the fact that I walked away too soon. I'm going to stick with baseball for another year. But he was honest.
Look, if he wants to stick that way, stick to that mentality, that's fine. But look, if you're going to be a player in the XFL, one of the first pills you have to swallow is the pride pill, all right? If you're a guy especially that was in the NFL at one point or was in the big leagues, the first pill you got to swallow is the pride pill. I mean, look, Sammy Coates was in the NFL.
Sure.
Case in point there, the Battlehawks running back, Christian Michael.
Seahawks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seahawks, I think he was a Houston guy that got drafted by Seattle, right? Isn't he from Houston?
I don't know where he's from, but I know that he for a while there, he was looked at pretty favorably.
He played at A&M, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
There you have it. All right, and look, the other thing that we can get to on the other side of the break is, I said it's a breath of fresh air for Houston, but is Houston the most hated sports team in all of America right now with everything that they've got going on in every one of their major sports? We can talk about that a little bit coming up next. And, of course, we'll take your calls, texts, and comments. Just keep them coming. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, wrapping up hour number two, three-hour show. It's Nick in for Barry today and tomorrow. Tyler in for Nick, and yours truly here with you till 4 p.m. On a Monday in the big city. We were talking about the XFL. I said it's the feel-good story, the way Houston's team is playing. They're 2-0. They're entertaining. Tyler was talking about the experience in stadium. And I say that to say what I said before the break, which is obviously, especially from a Houston perspective, but I think from a national perspective, New York, probably the most hated market in all of sports and the hated city, whether it be the Yankees or, you know, you name it. If you know, the football, not as much as it used to be, but people really, especially with Cowboy fans around here, didn't like the Giants. The Knicks and Nets aren't what they used to be either. But I think Boston was a town that everybody loved to hate with the Celtics and the Red Sox. Sure. You know, obviously the Patriots. But you look at what's going on in Houston right now, and as good of a feel-good story as the Roughnecks are, it kind of at least gives Houston a feel-good to kind of take the edge off. Because if you think about what Giannis said when we started this show about James Harden, and he's the most unpopular superstar in the game. There's a reason why guys are either saying it under their breath or having the comments that they like to make about not wanting to play with him because he doesn't pass and all these other things, that it's hard to get latched on to the Rockets, whether it be for James or Daryl Morey or for other reasons. When you look at the Texans, Bill O'Brien getting killed across the nation, Bill O'Brien the general manager, Bill O'Brien at the end of the year in the Chiefs game and other games with his decision-making, and they're exposing the Texans to where Barry jumped off the bandwagon as a longtime Houstonian. And we've heard the sentiments of a lot of the suspects and others that are saying, I just can't support this team anymore as long as Bill O'Brien's involved. And now you've got this scandal with the Astros. And as much as you're going to defend them staunchly and you're going to be a fan going forward, from a national perspective, we've said they are public enemy number one.
No, it's an interesting point that you brought up, and you were talking to me about this before the show in the production meeting. But yeah, I mean, when you go from a Rocket squad that was, in a lot of ways, or by many people, were described as a hamstring away from going to the finals. Mm-hmm. And now, I'm not saying you're a bad team now, but you're certainly not as good as you were when Chris Paul was on the team. That's not to say that, you know, that's another debate for another day as to whether or not you think Chris Paul should have left or not. But then you got Bill O'Brien, who's clearly benefiting from the Astros scandal and the fact that he's been able to kind of be protected and shielded from a lot of the hate after being extended, because there's so much effort and energy being applied to the Astros scandal and the electronic sign stealing scandal. So you got the Rockets that are not as good as they were when they were right there in terms of an NBA Finals appearance. You got the Bill O'Brien extension, which I feel like most people are not happy about. Maybe there's some people are defenders.
There's no one happy about that.
Some defenders.
But I mean, look, here's a text that we just got. Personally speaking, I think the reason Houston's so into the Roughnecks is because they're tired of the product they get down on Kirby. The Texans really crapped the bed over and over again, and a lot of people are done with it. So whether you're blaming it on just the team performance itself or Bill O'Brien, it's a huge negative for the city and for the fan base.
Yeah. I mean, they're not a really liked city in terms of sports. I would make that argument right now. I can see that. But look, there's a lot of cities that get that hate. Look, at the same time, Houston doesn't get the big city respect as, I don't know, like L.A., New York, Boston. You know, even cities that are big but not as big as Houston, they get more attention sometimes. Boston, I feel like, gets more attention.
I think Boston, before this Astros scandal,
it's a top 10 market, but it's not bigger than...
I think Boston was the most hated sports town in the entire country.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
They hate the Patriots, the Deflategate, the videotaping scandal, all the scandals, and because they hate another team that's winning as much as consistently the Patriots have. They hate the Red Sox because of the rivalries with so many teams, because of the fact that, look, whether you want to talk about it or not, we've talked about it on this show, the racism in and around Boston at Fenway Park and around that is not something to be, you know, taken lightly, as well as the fact that, again, they were a big market team with a lot of money. We're going to find out if they also will go down in the cheating scandal, hopefully sooner rather than later, from that perspective. So you've got, there's your football, there's your baseball and basketball. Celtics are always, people love to hate them.
Oh, for sure. For years.
Right.
They're not as much as a dynasty, I guess.
But think about it. Even after the dynasty years of the Bird, McHale, Parrish,
yeah.
Then you had Garnett, Pierce, and Ray Allen, and it was Celtics, Lakers again, and it was all that. But they were prominent, and people love to hate that.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that from Boston, too. Boston loved a lot of people, especially Houstonians, too. They love to hate Boston for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, this is not a good time for Houston sports. The XFL, like you said, is kind of a breath of fresh air. It's going to be important for them to not show any inconsistencies, though, that the Texans have showed, because I feel like that's not going to help their case at all.
So from the 409, fellas, dude, Philly is by far the most hated sports town in the country. Sure. End of story. It's not end of story, because you know what? The teams haven't been relevant enough for you to have that prominence for you to be hated. Granted, I know what it's like to see what the fans do on game days at Eagles games, throwing beer cans at 90-year-old women and having the old, you know, jail and court right there in the stadium. I get all that. But guess what? Yeah, the Eagles are the closest thing you got. The Phillies, yeah, they're on the up tick, but they haven't done anything in God knows how many years. And the Sixers haven't either. Sixers, obviously, they got closer, but they're getting picked apart more than they're getting complimented in terms of Embiid and Simmons and everything else.
Eagles are probably the most relevant in Philadelphia right now.
But I think overall, when you're talking about the major sports teams and the negativity surrounding each, it's hard to find more negativity around all three than you got in Houston right now.
But as crazy as it sounds, Joel, I think despite the scandal that the Astros are going through right now, or cause, however way you want to put it, mm-hmm. I still think there's going to be more loyals to the Astros fans than there are to Texas.
Here, locally.
Locally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's not really a devil's advocate, you know, argument against Soares. That's just my feeling. I just feel like this city loves this team. They just love the Astros.
And it goes back to the old adage of, if you're not cheating, then you're not trying, and you're not trying to win. And so the fact of the matter is, locally, this team did what this city desperately needed when they were going through everything they did with the natural disaster and all of the people that were on hard times. And we remember the Houston Strong patch on the jerseys. And then they ended up coming through and winning the whole thing. They endeared themselves. And so if the only thing that they did was push the envelope on taking advantage of stealing signs so that they could have an advantage to win, fans aren't going to turn their backs on them. Sure, across the country, they're going to be hated, but fans aren't going to turn their back for that, as opposed to what Bill O'Brien's doing down on Kirby, where it seems like he doesn't have a true organized plan to win, and he's pleased with just winning the division and playing a playoff game or two. And as a general manager, yeah, he went for it this year, but he did it in such a way that he left mistakes on the table that could cost them with the amount of picks he gave up, with the fact that Tunsil wasn't signed to an extension as part of the deal, with all these different things. And we know his shortcomings as a coach, that it's a lot easier to have the back and stay loyal to a franchise that's just pushing hard to win at all costs, as opposed to what Bill O'Brien's doing on Kirby.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien's got a lot of work to do. I don't feel like the scandal is going to completely keep him from all the criticism that he's going to get if he continues to coach the way he does. If he continues to coach inconsistently and make mistakes and make decisions that are obviously wrong, you know, then I don't think that this little shield of his, that he obviously has one with the McNair family. I feel like mm-hmm. there's a loyalty to him that we talked about on this show. So he's probably protected there, but I don't think he's protected from the fan base at all. At all. And that's probably why they're rallying around the Roughnecks right now. And they're a fun,
I think,
like,
the bigger thing
to watch
too
right
is that they were exposed. The way the Chiefs game, when you get out to a 24-0 lead and you blow it, and the way you blew it,
terrible,
with the fake and with the fourth and one and being so confused and saying you didn't have the play, it became a national epidemic that only was rampant in Houston before that. Everybody in Houston knew the shortcomings of Bill O'Brien with his propensity to screw up clock management, not balance timeouts, not know when to throw the red challenge flag, and all the other things. But it was basically in Houston. And all of a sudden, because it was on a national stage on a playoff game when the whole world was watching, now every talk show on every sports center, on every version of national TV, they're and Twitter, they're calling out Bill O'Brien. They're saying it's one of the top two biggest blunders in the history of what they've seen in the playoffs. That's why the microscope is deadly focused right now on Bill O'Brien, and that's why Houston fans are hoping that this is going to be the beginning of the end.
Yeah, and that play that you're referring to, you saw what Deion Sanders said. He said that was the second worst play call in the history of the postseason, I think.
Yep.
And he put Pete Carroll's decision not to run the ball with Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl against the Patriots as the worst, which I actually agree with. That was a dumbass move. But he called that the second worst. He called Bill O'Brien's decision the second worst play call in the history of the game. That's a massive statement. And you know Adam Rank, you know, from the NFL Network, who I absolutely love, and we've had him on the show. Sometimes he's been on the show and actually defended Bill O'Brien, saying he's not a terrible coach. He's a terrible decision maker, and it makes him look even worse as a head coach. And I can't agree more. I cannot agree more.
Text message. How can you be a fan of the Texans if the owner doesn't care, gives total power to hire and fire to Bill O'Brien? So there's another one. I mean, it's, I think it's all directly motivated and related to Bill O'Brien, but as it relates to all three teams in the city, it's a huge negative right now across the country in the way Houston is portrayed.
100%.
All right, before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about a team that has a great reputation, and they are fantastic when you give them a call. That's Infuse Energy. I switched to Infuse Energy about 3.5 years ago, just renewed, and why wouldn't I? Saved me thousands off of my previous energy provider, and they can do the same thing for you. We've had loyal suspects like P. Randizzle and many others get in touch with me, say they want to get in touch with them, and once they did, they got a great deal, and they are taken care of by Josh Pesikoff and his staff. Don't believe me? Believe the ratings. 5 out of 5-star rating on the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. You can be a part of the booming business that is the great team at Infuse Energy. Check out InfuseEnergy.com, or better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. You're going to get a human being on the phone that's going to ask you more questions than you ask them, because they're going to make sure that they find out what's the best plan and the best rate they can possibly give you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit, and they'll walk you through while they show that they care with nothing but honesty 100% of the time. That means that there might be companies out there that can beat their rates, and you may go somewhere else, but you'll be back because you'll remember how you were treated. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.